Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. Happy New Year to each and every one of you. I know you hope you enjoyed your holiday season, but now let's get back to the world of professional wrestling. A lot has been going on in the world of professional wrestling. As always, with me is the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, man. A lot going, like I said, a lot going on in the world of professional wrestling. I know we took a couple of weeks off for the holidays and come back and get into the groove of things. We have some start. Want to start off with some sad news, and that's the passing of, if you have not heard, the passing of Mean Gene Okerlund, the longtime WWE backstage announcer, also a WWE Hall of Famer. You know, it's sad to hear that Mean Gene passed away, and some of the other wrestlers who've been passing away lately at the end of 2018, and we started in 2019 losing Mean Gene Okerlund, a WWE legend and a Hall of Famer. We saw him from Legends House. He was always around, and now he was one of the faces of the WWE in the early 80s. I mean, 90s, he went to WCW, became a face there as well. I remember as a young kid always watching Mean Gene Okerlund. And I always, you know, you always put him and Hulk Hogan together. He was the backstage interviewer, always there for Hulk Hogan. And even waking up on Saturday morning watching cartoons, Mean Gene Okerlund was featured in that as well. He has done a lot for the world of professional wrestling to take it to another level. You know, just your thoughts on Mean Gene and the passing of Mean Gene Okerlund. What do you think?
Very, very sad. You got to say arguably. Just because there's, you know, no real stats, but I mean, in my opinion, definitely the most recognizable, probably, like, interviewer in probably sports entertainment history, realistically. And I mean that as far as, you know, Gordon Soley did color commentary and things of that nature. So, but as far as just an interviewer, just a, you know, backstage personality, probably the most recognizable guy in the history of the sport. So that, and, you know, him being, you know, the pitch man for the 900 number in WCW. I mean, those are two things you definitely remember Gene Okerlund for. And it's, you know, that wit that he had behind the mic. It's a huge loss for the sport, so.
Yeah, definitely a huge loss for the sport, man. And you know, with being a huge loss for the sport, even the chairman himself, Vince McMahon, chimed in on his Twitter page. Vince said, it was impossible not to crack a smile whenever Mean Gene Okerlund entered the room. He was the voice behind so many of the WWE's most iconic entertainment moments, and the WWE family will miss him immensely. And that was from Vince McMahon, the chairman of Vince McMahon, that was on his Twitter page. And you know, they will miss him. I mean, you think about Vince McMahon, think about Mean Gene Okerlund, and you talk about the gobbledygook and all the big moments that he had backstage with Hulk Hogan, the moment he had backstage at WrestleMania with Andre the Giant and Bobby Heenan, and you talk about the interviews he did with Macho Man Randy Savage, and you go back earlier to his AWA days, and where him and Sergeant Slaughter and all those things, you know, Mean Gene was the voice of WWE. Mean Gene has been a staple in the WWE, and like I said, the wrestling fans and those are going to miss him. You know, this is where the network, in my opinion, is very important. Because you can go back and watch some of that old Mean Gene stuff, and you can introduce it to your kids or introduce it to people who are not familiar with wrestling, or you can go back yourself and go back and watch some of the things that were iconic about what Mean Gene did backstage.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's one of the things. Like I said, he will surely be missed, not only in the WWE, but in the wrestling world as well. But the other big news, man, that was coming out this week, it has to do with this thing called AEW, man. It's All Elite Wrestling, which is huge, which is on everybody's mind, and everybody's been talking about it. You know, All Elite Wrestling is the promotion that the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, as well as Hangman Page are involved in. If you have not heard, they have a financial backer right now who has a little bit of paper. You know, when I say a little bit of paper, it reports that his family's worth $6.9 billion. That's right, $6.9 billion. Didn't say million, that's billions with a B. You know, McMahon's are worth about $2 billion. So you know, Tony Khan, as the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, is being rumored, or not even rumored anymore, that is the backer of All Elite Wrestling. In this promotion, that the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, and Hangman Page, along with his wife Brandy, they signed contracts the other day. You know, we saw it on social media, on the internet. They signed contracts the other day about All Elite Wrestling. Hey, what are your thoughts on All Elite Wrestling? I want to stay here for a minute and get your thoughts on this.
Well, I mean, it's revolutionary for the sport. I mean, in recent memory, you don't have the kind of partnership with a, you know, a relatively known billionaire, as you stated, and a group of talent like this, to where, you know, you often hear about talent, you know, being behind the scenes and being instrumental in different storylines and things of that nature, but, you know, this still was the driving force of the company being the company and the talent being the talent. And this is the true mix of the talent, you know, kind of calling the shots, you know, pretty actively and being a pretty prominent figure in the business side of the company. So this is it's a big deal. And, you know, I wish these guys nothing but success. I think they will be successful. And with this kind of backer, with, you know, this is not just some, you know, company with various partners. And they're like, no, they got a legitimate, true, like Ted Turner-like sorts of money behind them. So they have an opportunity to really make some noise.
You know, I think that's something that you said too, that they got money back there, like a backer like Ted Turner. And I hope they learned, and I believe they have learned from the mistakes that WCW made with somebody who has that type of money. You know what I'm saying? With somebody who had that type of money, you can't. There's rumors down that they're out there that they have given several multi-year contracts to certain people, and you know, I'm not gonna say guaranteed money, but giving money to some people that's been out there to help them. Now, one thing that they do have a lot of is that's wrestlers. Right now, there are a lot of wrestlers out there that are on the indie scenes, that are on the and other promotions, whether it's TNA, whether it's Ring of Honor, whether even WWE, dare not say that, you know, some people may. I don't think anybody's going to get released this year. You know how we usually get that release after WrestleMania? That they usually been right. The company usually have a release. I think they don't release anybody this year for the fact that they don't want them to go to All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You know, I think that's one of the things that we might not get that release there that we normally have gotten. But I mean, this promotion right here is moving. You got a lot of guys who are trying to get in. There have been rumors that Bill Goldberg may sign with the company. There have been rumors that Jericho is heavily involved. There have been rumors that even JR has been involved in backing a little bit of support there for All Elite Wrestling. And we know that Jim Ross's connection with Cody Rhodes and Dusty Rhodes is a high connection. I don't know if he is or not, but we do know that he's under contract with the WWE until March in this promotion, All Elite Wrestling. Will be, you know, I think from the All In pay-per-view, which was successful, where you had 10,000 people over 10,000 people sell out the arena there for All Elite Wrestling back in September. And I think this is where it sprung from. My question to you is, could this be sustainable? I mean, the TV deal is not done yet. Yeah, they got a backer that has a little bit of money. What would they need to do to be successful? And I'm not talking about compete with WWE, because let's not put the cart before the horse. But to put on a weekly product every week, television-wise. We see Impact Wrestling try to do it. They went from Spike TV to Pop TV to, I can't even know the name of the channel they're on, the Paramount Channel or something like that now. But what does all AEW have to do to be able to sustain themselves for the next couple of years?
I think they're probably gonna have, if this makes sense, compete but not compete. I don't think they need to act like they're out to put WWE out of business, or they're out to make sure that, oh, we're ahead of the. They need to put on their product and be confident in what they have. The success will come, I believe, but I think they have to recognize you got to give WWE that respect that they've been in the game for, you know, like 60 plus years now. So you got to understand that they're still a big dog in town. So compete, you know, stay relevant, but don't, you know, exhaust yourself trying to beat them, because by then you're beating yourself at that point. So you got to compete, but, you know, don't over exaggerate it to where you're so, you know, focused on competing against WWE. Just compete and put on your own product and be confident in it.
I think that's the thing there too. You know, they just got to be confident. But we talk about, you know, being confident competing against WWE, but you got other companies who are that's in the United States who's trying to fight with AEW and the new companies coming in. You know, you look at those that are already in Impact Wrestling. You look at those at Ring of Honor. AEW may be that competition, not to just the WWE, but the competition to the other guys. And I want to say indies, but maybe AEW will be that promotion that will work with Ring of Honor. And we've seen the relationship that Ring of Honor has had with New Japan, and the relationship that he has had with Cody and the Young Bucks, and the relationship that Ring of Honor, if Jericho is involved, the relationship that Ring of Honor had with Chris Jericho, where they just did Jericho's cruise and different things of that nature. What I think we'll see is I think we'll see a lot of wrestlers from all over the world in AEW. I think you see, don't know how the contract or structure is going to work out, but I think you see a lot of indie guys and a lot of high-profile wrestlers working for this company. And who do you think will be the first casualty of this company? Will it be an Impact Wrestling that would get, you know, slighted?
I mean, as far as major companies, I mean, you want to consider AEW a major company now? Obviously, just by default, they're number three because Impact is there. But I think with the buzz of who's behind AEW, eventually they'll already surpass Impact. And, I mean, that's saying a lot just by that alone.
So before they even have their first match, first televised event, they're number two?
No. That's not what I said. They're number three.
Okay.
But with who's involved, they can be number two. It'll take a couple of shows, I think, but I don't see why they couldn't be.
So who you got at number two?
Well, I mean, number two is Impact. Just Impact alone is going to always be number two as far as the main. Right now, I mean, it's not disrespectful. ROH is still an indie company to me. So, Right now there's only two top companies in, you know, sports in the U.S. I mean, in wrestling in the U.S., and it's WWE and it's Impact.
So why do you still consider Ring of Honor indie? I mean, they have a TV deal, they had the Access deal, now they got the St. Clair deal.
Yeah, but they're still running. They're still running on that indie type of backing as far as the arenas they're running and the way their talent is structured. There's not major. I mean, there's major stars there, but it's not. They're not Impact. They're not Impact and they're not WWE.
I give you that they may not have the household names that everyone knows. They are signing big names. They just signed Bandido. We saw him at All In. They still got Jay Lethal over there. You still got the Briscoe brothers that's still there. You still got some top talent. Bully Ray is over there. Flip Gordon is over there. You know, you still have some good talent that could compete on a regular basis with them. When you talk about the crowd that's there, I think this is what AEW is going to give you. AEW is going to give you that former ECW Ring of Honor type crowd.
Yeah, but with the financial backing they have, they're still, as far as top companies, we'll have to see how AEW eventually plays out. They can end up being an indie company too. But right now, as far as the way they're being marketed, I wouldn't consider them the indies.
No, and I think I'm neither. Just I'm sitting from the both standpoint. I gotta sit and watch, see how it plays out. How do they get the television first? How do they get their structure? What kind of arenas are they gonna run? Are they gonna go? Are they gonna do a tour? Are they gonna do house shows? What kind of crowd they're gonna get? Coming in, I'm sure it's gonna be hot the first couple shows. It's gonna be hot there when they have when they're gonna get weekly television deal, those type of things, which may be a slow roll or maybe already be in process. I just think it's good to have all in for everybody to come to Chicago, and come to one spot one time a year. But to try to sustain this, if they're gonna do weekly television every week,
I agree. I need to see the talent lineup.
Right, and listening to JR podcast a lot, and that's what he says. He says some things that every wrestling company needs is talent and television. We know that they have talent now. They're getting talent. We don't know what kind of television are, because let's be honest. There's rumors out there they have a lot of interest from major networks, and that would be the slap in the face that Impact Wrestling couldn't get a major network. Now they're on some channel that no one knows about. I guess the Hunting Channel, for them to go from Spike TV to Paramount, which is now Paramount, to Pop TV, to have AEW now to get a good TV deal and having them run a show. What does that say about the owners of the group Anthem of Impact Wrestling? And there's rumors also again that since WWE SmackDown will be moving to Friday nights, that AEW wants that Tuesday night slot.
It would be smart. Get in where you can.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that would be smart, because you got people already used to watching wrestling on Tuesday nights.
Yep.
They're already accustomed to that, and so it will be a good move to see how the WWE I'm not gonna say combat this because they don't have to compete with AEW. AEW has to come up to them, but also right. WWE can't ignore the fact that AEW is there. And that some of their talent who is not being used backstage, and I can name a couple guys who may fit well in an AEW wrestling, in an AEW that's currently on the roster. So guys like maybe a Curt Hawkins, who could go down there and be a veteran. Some of those guys that can help out in WWE. I mean, help out in AEW, but if they want them, so
right.
If they want to. Other thing that AEW is doing, man, from what they got going on, they got this thing called Double or Nothing Rally, which is on January 8th, 2019, at 5 p.m. And what's curious about this, or what's interesting about this, is the same day that WWE, Monday Night Raw, I believe, is in Jacksonville, that the Double or Nothing Rally takes place, which is right now.
I believe it's SmackDown.
SmackDown. Yeah, SmackDown. SmackDown. That takes place. So you see, it's a little, I'm not going to say, there's a little infiltration that's going on there. This may be the new pay-per-view that
they
have.
Not an infiltration. It's just smart. I mean, you take the opportunity. It's just like, it's pretty much the same thing as WrestleMania weekend, which is why I said they got to make sure they aren't trying to just go all out trying to compete against WWE. Like I said, compete, but just, be confident in what you have and just run your show, because the proof is right there. They could be anywhere else, but they're still feeding off of what WWE is presenting as far as the market and the things of that nature. It's the same thing, like I said, as WrestleMania weekend. Everybody, all these promotions still come to wherever WrestleMania is, because that's where WrestleMania is. So there you go.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's where the fans are at. That's where the fans are at. That's where the money at. And I don't care what anybody says.
Yep.
If there's no WrestleMania weekend, a lot of these, there's no fans coming in. You know what I'm saying? You're not filling up your shows. You're not selling out all your shows. You're not selling out. This show is not selling out. The show in Madison Square Garden that sold out. If it wasn't WrestleMania weekend, that event's not selling out.
Yeah, you know what? As much as people would hate what you just said, I agree.
Yeah, it's not. You have, and what's funny thing is, everybody, majority of the people, I'm gonna say 85 to 95%. I'm not gonna say 100%. 85 to 95% of people that are gonna be at the Madison Square Garden event, the 2 days before WrestleMania, will be at MetLife Stadium on Sunday.
Oh yeah, yeah. they're still going to WrestleMania. They can't fool us with that.
And that's where the benefit is not because of, and some people are buying tickets just because of nostalgia. I want to be at Madison Square Garden for this show. Now, we was there last year. It was in New Orleans. And how many people were at NXT TakeOver like we were? And they was talking about, oh, man, and getting text messages or thoughts from other folk about the Ring of Honor show. And then when we got out of TakeOver, they was like, man, I'm glad I'm glad y'all went to TakeOver. Because the other show, it took too long.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of hype. It was built up, but it didn't.
It was built up to where, well, you know what it was. I think they built it up. It was smart to build it up, obviously, but they tried to jam pack so much on there that it just ran long. They tried to put so, in which these are all smaller companies. You're gonna want to try to put everybody you can on that show, and I mean they did end up doing it, but as a result, you get a 5-hour show.
Right, a five-hour show, and that's, you know, I'm not saying that was the first show of the weekend, but it's one of the first major shows of the weekend, and then you still got to set through everything else.
Mm-hmm.
As a wrestling fan, I know as wrestling fans, you come down there to find wrestling, to watch wrestling. You came down there to see a good product, a good show, but a five-hour indie show, and I'm not
right.
Let me not, like I'm saying, degrading, as I say, indie's not a bad thing. A five-hour show in general. Because WWE five-hour shows are long. You know, those shows are tiring. So I think when we go back to the AEW real quick, they have to me, I think one-hour programming would be best at first to whet people's appetite for the programming and for the show. Before you jump into a two-hour show or anything like that, get the one-hour program, get your feet wet, and move on, and see where everything flies from there.
It's funny what you just said with the way I was going to say it was the same way. It's a five-hour, you know, not saying indie disrespectfully, but it's a five-hour indie show to where. I mean, even the people that are there that know every single person on the card, it's like, whew, a five-hour indie show? It's not the same entertainment level. Yeah, you're getting a lot of wrestling, but it's like, whew, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's too many highs and lows, too many matches. You're trying to stuff a lot of stuff into a 5-gallon bucket, you know? And so...
Yep.
And you miss out on something. And let's think about it. Let's be honest. When we go to indie shows, and I want to tell you, I do go to indie shows,
mm-hmm.
and I like indie shows, but there's really no storyline for some of these shows. It's just, okay, this match will be good for you, this match will be good for you, let's put you together. And let's see where you go. You might have a little storyline where it builds up to, you know, up to that match, but there's really no legitimate story. There's not really no fallout afterwards, or no major story development after that. And I know even the WWE sometimes they drop the ball with storylines as well. But you're watching matches.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You know, and that's where AEW has to be able to put good wrestling minds into their business. They have to put good wrestling minds behind the scenes. And some of the names that I've heard, like I said, the Jim Rosses, the Chris Jerichos, those guys who have been around the business and who are a good wrestling-minded business. And I want to really stress the word wrestling, because AEW will be a wrestling company, not an entertainment company.
Right.
And that, to me, is going to be, I don't want to say the telltale sign, because we know WWE makes a lot of money after kids.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Make a lot of money off kids and a lot of parents. Will AEW be that type of programming? Will that AEW be the place where you can bring your kids on a regular basis? Or will it be the ECW environment? Not necessarily ECW, but will it be that environment where you don't want to bring your kids? There's some Ring of Honor shows that you don't want to take your kids to.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Because of the crowd, because of the type of people that come there. And I'm not saying they're bad people, but it's just not a family-friendly environment for kids, and that's where a lot of money comes from, are for those kids, because I just can't see every city in this area where AEW may go produce their show being able to pack out 10,000 seat arenas right now.
Right.
And, you know, would love to get it back to where it was at in the 1997 and 98, where every arena was packed out with 16,000 screaming fans and 15,000 screaming fans. But I think they have to work. And what stops a person just going to AEW and to get the name and then get the notoriety and then jump ship to the WWE? Because at the end of the day, if you're in a wrestling business, I just believe, just me, and a lot of people may argue with me, I just believe you want to be in the WWE.
Yep.
That somewhere in your heart of hearts, you decide you wanted to be in WWE, or you got into the wrestling business to be in the WWE. And when you don't make it to the WWE, or you come to the realization, you know what, I may not make it, now you're wrestling for the fun of it. There's some companies I think people just go to because they want to get to that next level and they want to get to that next step. It's like a person who's playing baseball. They go to single A, they go to the double A, then they go to triple A, and at the end of the day, they go to the major leagues. And the major league right now is the WWE, and until AEW and other promotions are able to do that, I think majority of your people want to go to WWE.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's still the end-all, be-all. No matter how much people detest it, in my opinion, you still want to try to get there once.
Yeah. You still want to get there. I mean, you got a lot of young kids coming up. And I don't see nothing wrong with NXT. And I don't see nothing wrong with... I'm a big territory day person. I think when the day of the era of territories where people could go wrestle in different places, I think that's what made them better because they picked up different skills. They picked up different sets. They learned how to maneuver and get that much better in the ring. If we look at the current WWE roster, most of those guys who are very successful and a lot of the main stars people like are journeymen.
Mm-hmm.
They're the guys who traveled to Japan. They're the guys who wrestled in places like the Ring of Honors and the Impact Wrestlings or the MCWs. Those are the guys, the CZWs. Those are the guys that we like now. Your Dean Ambrose, your Seth Rollins, your Kevin Owens, your Sami Zayns, even somewhat your Leo Rushes per se. You know, those guys, your Matt Hart, Matt and Jeff Hardy that traveled around the world, your Finn Balor's, those type of guys that we like. Even your Rey Mysterio who left. Now, some of the homegrown guys from WWE, we're not feeling them as much.
Yeah. I can see that.
I think more people are more apt to buy into the homegrown woman of WWE than the man who came up out of the WWE rankings, because we talk about this all the time offline, but who is the most successful NXT star that is homegrown?
You're right. I don't even. Yeah.
I mean, we can say Roman. I mean, that's.
It's probably Roman, to be honest.
You know, but. But who else is on that stick? You know that they didn't wrestle anywhere else. They just came from the NXT Performance Center, FCW, Full Sail that came up. There's not too many.
No, you're right.
And so, you know, we talk about development programs. So that I like the place of people going to AEW and going to different organizations to be kind of successful and to move up into the ranks. You know, and that's where it should be at. But also, let's get on this one a little bit. You know, we talked about AEW extensively on this episode, but there was also a return this week. You know, you was able to see the return over the weekend at a house show. Well, there's also a gentleman who returned, and that's none other than John Cena. And I think, you know, John Cena returned to the WWE ring, which is good for WWE. I think it's good for the WWE because now people who have not seen Cena can go see Cena. They can get WWE can raise tickets if they have a face. With Roman being gone, and they may not want to say it or nobody wants to admit it, but WWE's hurting for that major star.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, by far. They need Cena right now. They do.
Everybody been talking about Seth Rollins. You know, Seth Rollins, giving Seth Rollins a hard time. But I think, he gives Seth Rollins a hard time. But I think some of it, he didn't have the right dance partners to be able to be that star.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
You know, I think when he was heel Seth Rollins, that was the best he did. When he came to face, some things just didn't work out. And I think he's one of those guys that make that is a better heel than face. And I think Finn Balor is another one that the WWE dropped the ball with.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying about that.
I mean, Finn just has never recovered from the fact that when he lost the Universal title, WWE has put their money behind him. He was the first Universal champion. He got hurt, and he's never been able to recover in that sense. They've tried they almost tried everything with him. They tried the little filter with the Bullet Club there for a minute, even with the marketing, with the T-shirts that he has. They try to get people to love him. They keep throwing things at Finn Balor. They try to create a star, and the WWE got hurt when Roman Reigns went out because they didn't have anybody else to take his place. That was that major star. Who else on that roster could do Good Morning America or do different things right now?
No, you're absolutely correct. Past Cena, oof. Well, Seth could do it. I think Seth could do it. I think he can.
You know, I think he can do it, but is his talent and ability in the ring is there. There's no doubt, but the other stuff that comes with being a sports entertainer or working for the WWE is what they need. They make a wish to travel back and forth, doing all of the extra stuff that needs to be done when you're the guy. And some may say, "Well, no, ain't nobody grabs the brass ring," but is there who on the roster could grab it?
Tough, you're right.
That's, I mean, you got two guys who are out, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I think Owens is one of those guys who could go there. Braun Strowman would like to be the guy, but he's not the guy. You got your two main workhorses on the roster, which is AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. Let me digress. In the Miz. In the Miz.
Yeah, I mean, when all else fails, you can go Miz.
Yeah, all else fails, you got to go Miz. The Miz is the guy. He's Mr. Consistent right now. He knows how to work the media. He's learned how to work TV. The Miz could be a big WWE star. He got the TV show now on USA, Miz and Mrs. He could be that guy. Daniel Bryan can be that next superstar. Let me ask you this. Do you think WWE should combine the rosters again, or we should still have separate brands?
Oh, they're going to. They're going to. It's not even. It's not even close. They're going to combine it again. I just think there's too much. There's too much. You know, kind of jumbleness with the way the brand split is right now. They'll combine it again.
It's the best. I think it'd be best for business, for them to combine. Combine the roster. Let all stars in all parties. Go where they need to be at. I think it'll be best. I think it'll be best for the company that they move.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last thing I want to hit you with before we roll out of here, we've been doing for a while, was announced a couple of weeks ago while we was off on Christmas holiday break. WWE will have women tag team division. Your thoughts on this and who you think is coming out of this division?
I mean, honestly, my gut still says Sasha and Bayley will be the first champions.
I think we talked about this. I like Tamina and Nia Jax, just because of the culture and the history behind them, the Samoan heritage. I think you can do something with them with the greats of Alpha and Sika, the Samoan SWAT team. I think you can go and they plus they heels, so you know heel tag team champions start off and allow Sasha and Bayley to chase and. And we can move from there.
You're right.
Yo, before we get out of here, let's do this real quick. Your closing thoughts. What are you expecting to see in the world of professional wrestling in 2019?
We'll see how this AEW thing goes, that's for sure. Because if they're actually sustainable as far as competition, WWE's got some real shaping up to do.
Yeah, I'm thinking AEW will be a good thing for competition, but if it's the competition that we think they could be, I think it'll be good for the wrestling business. Because when WWE had competition, like about 20 years ago, 20-some years ago, the product was a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
The writers stepped their game up a little bit the ratings went up just a little bit. And I think that's where you need, sometimes you need competition in order to make you a little bit more influential and make you better in the situation. And I dare not to say that Vince McMahon may not go too far if this AEW situation gets heated up real quick. Because we know Vince this year and coming up in 2020, I was working on the XFL, which is going to relaunch in 2020. So if, you know, I imagine Vince's hands would be in that a lot. But they will keep an eye on AEW and see where it goes from there. Another question real quick. If there was one defectant from the WWE roster, SmackDown or Raw, who would be the first WWE casualty or the first person to jump ship to AEW? If you had to pick one.
Maybe Anderson Gallows.
That's a good pick there. That is definitely because of the relationship with New Japan, the relationship with Cody and the Bucks contracts.
Right.
I think that's a very, man, that is a very good pick, was it? The Anderson and Gallows.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly, yeah, I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head.
No, me neither. I had a hard time struggling on that, but if I had to pick one, that will be on the current roster, I'd take one and pick as who would go. I would look at the likes of, as I mentioned earlier, somebody like a Curt Hawkins, somebody of that nature, who would jump ship or who move on to WWE. I'll even say a Rey Mysterio. Don't know how long his contract is, but we know he did All In before.
I think he may be there a little bit.
Huh?
He may be there a little bit.
Yeah, he may be there, but it'll be his last run there. To see where he goes at. I just look at guys like Bully Ray, who did that nice little stint for WWE for about a year, year and a half. And then with the Ring of Honor. So some of those guys that would be there. But it would be interesting to see who is the first WWE casualty or the first WWE superstar to jump over. I'm going to say, if I had to pick one, I'm going to say Bray Wyatt.
That's interesting.
I would say Bray Wyatt. WWE's not doing anything with him. He has a little bit of a relationship there with the Rose family. So I would say Bray Wyatt. But nonetheless, Wizard, hey, good show. Appreciate you. Take us home.
Oh, hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
In the story, ladies and gentlemen, catch you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. Good night.
Yep. Jeez.